The Green Bay Packers travel to New England to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Patriots in the preseason opener. To get us prepared for the game, we talked to former Patriots linebacker Matt Chatham, founder of footballbyfootball.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're getting ready for the preseason this morning, and to do that, we're talking to former New England Patriots linebacker Matt Chatham, also founder of footballbyfootball.com.
Expert interview.
Mr. Chatham, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. There's a lot of reasons we're glad to have you on the show, but I want to start with your connection to former Green Bay Packers player Brady Papinga, who's an analyst for footballbyfootball.com. What's it like to work with Brady?
We actually have a couple Bradys. We've been heavy on the Bradys with Brady Papinga and Brady Quinn, so it's been pretty cool. I mean, you know, we've obviously gravitated towards guys that are experienced and guys that have played for many years in the league, but also having guys that are smart guys. You know, he's a BYU kid and did well with you guys up there in Green Bay. And, you know, we've really had a lot of guys who, A, have the experience, but, you know, some of these kids, Tank Williams is a Stanford guy. Brady Quinn's a Notre Dame kid. EK Ndukwe is a Northwestern guy. A lot of these writers for us are pretty bright, and they, you know, used to hit their head on walls for a living, so they can kind of do both sides, I guess.
Well, we're going to talk about this game in a second, but I think right now is a good a chance as any to kind of tell our audience about footballbyfootball.com. Can you let us know what it's all about and what fans can expect to read there?
Yeah, well, basically Football by Football is just a collection of former NFL players that want to sort of write and give a different perspective from a player's point of view. So we'll do a certain amount of content that's game evaluation and a little more sort of in the weeds. But again, I think you get some insight there on what's going on. That'll be a little different than, you know, a journalist of some sort who doesn't have that background trying to tell the same story. But we also spend a lot of time reacting to sort of NFL news. But again, trying to do it through that player lens and giving you that perspective that you usually don't get. So I believe last year we had 18 different guys, there were former players contribute and write to the site, and really guys in all different markets. Nile Diggs, who was also a Packers guy, is going to be doing some writing for us this year.
Yeah, cool.
We really have guys in every market. There's guys from all over the league that have played, and I think we're represented in every division. So you get that kind of well-rounded perspective that we were looking for, and we're up and rolling.
Well, we've had both Nile Diggs and Brady Papinga on this show before, so we're glad to give you a little pub, and we'll send viewers, readers your way. But let's talk about this game a little bit. An interesting storyline, I think, emerged this week when the Patriots released Matt Flynn, who Packers fans know well from his time in Green Bay. Did that move catch you by surprise at all?
I'm sorry, one more time, the move that what?
With Matt Flynn, the Patriots releasing Matt Flynn. Packers fans, of course, you know him from his time in Green Bay. But did releasing him catch you by surprise?
Well, I guess the story with Matt, and this is actually something that's universal for a lot of players. We get this every training camp where there's some transaction that kind of looks like it might not be the last chapter. And we had sort of heard news that Matt had potentially been nicked. We didn't know when, and usually, you know, obviously injury information isn't given out at this time of the year. They're really not obligated to tell you exactly what's going on until the regular season begins. So something most likely happened between sort of the time period between the end of mini camp and when he got to training camp. as a player, you don't know if that was maybe tweaking something in a conditioning test or maybe failing a physical some other way somehow with, you know, you might have something that looks bad under a scope. So I think, you know, Bill Belichick was a little bit cryptic in saying that, you know, there's a good possibility if he could pass that test, he could be back. So it's one of those situations where maybe the guy stays local, maybe the guy goes and does his rehab elsewhere, but they free up the roster spot because they need the bodies, quite frankly, in training camp. But if that situation were to resolve itself, and obviously understanding that there's a ton of uncertainty at the quarterback situation until Brady's trial is resolved. So I don't think the door is closed on that, but again, the NFL is not great on those kinds of pieces of information.
Is it a situation where they would add him back once the regular season starts and they just want to get through for the time being while it's still the preseason, or when could this happen?
Well, I think one of the things that happens is, you know, you need camp arms for one thing, and that's not to say that Matt would be that kind of player, but at this particular place is one that keeps quite, you know, they don't keep 4 and 5 quarterbacks to keep the repetitions lower on the top guys. Tom Brady throws not just the team periods, but he throws heavily in the 7-on-7s and in individual periods and all those kinds of things. So there aren't 5 to 6 arms to sort of thin the balls. So I think with Jimmy Garoppolo obviously being their number two and a guy who, you know, they've invested heavily in with a second round pick a year ago, he's still terribly young. So a guy like Matt Flynn or Ryan Lindley, who's in there now, are guys that have had experience, have led teams before. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if fallback options are the right word, but there's a little more certainty in what you'll get with that kind of situation. So could it happen the regular season? I think it's a possibility, again, because we may not even know the ruling until that happens. I should say after the first of the season. As a veteran, you don't guarantee his contract. So if he's on the roster as things start and he's healthy and he were to be back, you had that risk that if you change your mind or you decide to not carry 3, which they don't often do, then that spot floats. So it's a tough call, but I think they're always erring here on the side of flexibility, and that might mean bringing someone back once the season's begun.
So replacing Flynn on the roster, as you said, Ryan Lindley, is he even going to be ready to play on Thursday night with only 3 days of preparation?
Well, it's an interesting question because, you know, Tom Brady, as a matter of history, I mean, it's because there's so much uncertainty going on right now, people, you know, tend to go back and flip through old past preparations, see how do they generally handle training camp, does he usually play in that first preseason game. This is one of those places where a lot of times around the league you'll see a lot of the first-liners, especially, you know, a perennial all-pro guy like Tom, not take snaps at all. You know, Adrian Peterson's example there in your guys' division where he might not even take a snap the entire preseason. But I think because of the travel day considerations, obviously today Tom's been out in New York. He got his work in. He did his conditioning, all those kinds of things. And today is comparable to what, you know, Packers fans would know as sort of an in-season Saturday practice. It's the day before. You're not missing much. So provided the travel isn't an issue and he's back this evening, I don't think that there's any real reason to expect that they would go off what schedule they would do in any other preseason game, which is usually a few series, maybe even as much as a quarter. But, you know, maybe it would change their thinking, but they've been operating throughout this camp as if nothing's going on. You know, Tom's not taking less reps or anything like that. It's business as usual.
We're talking to Matt Chatham, founder of footballbyfootball.com, here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Matt, so is this a situation where Jimmy Garoppolo is basically going to play the bulk of the game, even if Brady plays a little bit, you know, up to a quarter? But is Jimmy Garoppolo going to basically go the rest of the way because Lindley isn't just ready yet?
Well, I think it's safe to say that Jimmy's going to get a lot of reps. For this reason, you know, even if we're not having these conversations about, you know, Tom Brady being or not to play in a game or two, Jimmy Garoppolo is a young player who is sort of that next in command, and it's an extremely important spot. You can even look back to a year ago where there was this battle between, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's brand new and Ryan Mallett, still, you know, a guy that they had previously invested highly in that was getting to the end of a contract. And that was a very heavy, heavy repped competition between the two of those guys. So Brady needs to get his work in. It's not that he can just arrive on day one and be ready to roll and throw at a Pro Bowl level. I mean, I don't think that really is the case for many players out there. It's a timing position, so they want to get his work in. But they also have a lot of evaluation to do with Jimmy, and also just to get him ready in case anything happens. And that's irrespective of any yeah. Off the field issue that's going on. So I expect if you're a Packers fan, you're going to get to see a lot of that mobile quarterback. You're going to get to see a lot of broken plays isn't the right word, but just a guy that likes to reset the pocket. He'll go a read or two in. He'll reset himself with some quick shovel. He's got great feet, and kind of give you a different look than if you're preparing just for Tom.
I have to ask, if the NFL had just fined the Patriots and maybe took away the draft choice and stopped there, would we still be talking about Deflategate today?
Oh, I'm sorry. One more time. You cut out on that one.
Sorry. If the NFL had just fined the Patriots and maybe took away that draft choice and stopped there and not done anything with Tom Brady, would we still be talking about Deflategate today?
Right. It's an interesting question. I think there's actually probably a dozen or more exits off of this particular interstate that the NFL could have taken many, many times ago. I mean, from the first issue, and again, I'm there on the sideline at pregame of that AFC Championship game. I know all the people that are involved in this, from the NFL side even, and even, security in the building. The reality of it is these protocols that they have with balls aren't followed. Anything where a ball is not measured and then you want to make an accusation later that it's changed, how do you do that?
Yeah.
It's not written down. You know, the gauges are different. It was never written down. Nobody in the building understood the high school science about ideal gas law. At that point, hours after it's gone down, you realize we have no standing, no real sort of moral right to make this accusation against anyone. We don't do what we would need to do to have the restrictions to have this even be a rule. So I think that honest moment that the NFL never took, where it's like, how can I accuse someone of this when I've got a bit of a clown show here behind the scenes?
Yeah,
and that's dangerous. I mean, if you're an attorney of any kind and you're trying to take a case forward, this happens all the time in just local law, where a district attorney will get the facts and realize that a dozen things were bungled before the thing even started. You don't go and try to litigate that for several years and spend a bunch of the people's money because it's a waste. Because at the end that your own strictures were a hot mess. And that's what happened here. But I think arrogance is always the NFL's first tool. And I think that for them to admit they've done something wrong is just not something that by proxy they do. So they plow forward. And unfortunately, your Super Bowl champs who won, convincingly throughout and had a pretty magical victory at the end is still being questioned. I just think that's terrible for the league. Especially when I think most of the real facts of impropriety are actually on the NFL side.
Just because it's newsworthy today, you alluded to it earlier, Tom Brady in federal court today. Do you expect anything to come out of that today or a conclusion to this soon?
I think today is just a rubber stamping kind of situation. I mean,
okay.
I think from a personal standpoint, fans and maybe even local media somewhat, and I think even national media, they're still masochists enough to want to pay attention to this thing, would basically tell you that, these notions of settlement are being pushed by everyone that's not actually a part of this. The conversation about wanting to settle or pushing for settlement is part of what the judge wants, and that's in part because he doesn't want to rule in a way that has a broad focus, because broad scope is something that usually gets appealed. And in arbitration situations, the judge doesn't want to put down a ruling that either gets appealed later and then makes him look silly, or that has some broad sweeping change that wasn't collectively bargained. They don't want that to be sort of the rule of law that comes out of his court. So that's an understood standard, and I think most of this is pretty typical stuff. You try to push them to the very brink before they arrive at your bench. You make sure that there's nothing that could potentially be left on the table before they arrive there and you make your decision. That said, what in the world could they possibly be settling over? This was never a conversation about how many games. This was about I didn't do it, and your process is a joke. And quite frankly, from the NFLPA side and Brady's side of the table, the NFL has gone 0-for-4 the last two times they've gone to court on mm-hmm. these issues of Article 46 in the collective bargaining agreement. Broad powers isn't something that the courts like. They like to have you be specific about what you're going to do and then hold you to those tenets as opposed to saying, hey, do whatever you like. And if it violates the law, you know, we'll deal with you later. That's not what people like. So I think this is a bit of an inevitability that settlement would be brought up, but that it doesn't happen because invariably you would be conceding something that neither side wants to concede. One side said they didn't do it. The other side said that they did. So they need a ruling.
Very good. Matt, thank you so much. You know, normally I don't want to focus so much on just quarterbacks, but I did think, you know, especially with the Matt Flynn connection, it was applicable to the Packers too. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We appreciate your insight and your legal insight, which is really, really good. So thanks a lot and enjoy the game.
No problem, guys.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Former Patriots linebacker Matt Chatham joining us on the show, founder of footballbyfootball.com. Go check it out, folks. Like he said, former Packers like Brady Papinga, Niall Diggs write for the site, in addition to many former NFL players. It's a good resource and a site I check out from time to time myself and like it a lot. So go check it out. And with that, we'll continue our discussion this morning here with our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
All right, so Packers make several roster moves over the past few days. Two roster moves, I guess. The biggest one kind of being releasing punter Cody Mandel. Packers actually did this, on Monday? On Monday, I believe, right before the start of practice. So basically giving punter Tim Mastay a vote of confidence, I guess you could say. It appears that the Packers punting competition is over and that they aren't going to bring anybody else in. Cody Mandel, from what I saw, was not a ton. I was there at training camp for one practice. I saw family night. And Cody Mandel did okay. He wasn't terrible by any means. But I think it was clear that Tim Mastay was the better punter. And, you know, I'm not sure whether, you know, a message was sent to Tim Mastay in the offseason where it's like, you better get better because we're bringing in competition. And whether that really hit home with Tim Mastay or maybe Cody Mandel just wasn't, you know, good, you know, up to snuff, I guess, NFL caliber. Not that he was terrible by any means, but the Packers just, you know, basically conceding, you know, Tim Mastay's the better punter and moving on. So that, you know, opened up a roster spot on the Packers roster. Kind of interesting that both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy were asked about, you know, the release of Cody Mandel. And both said it had to do with the roster. They needed depth or needed to open up a spot. The Packers haven't made a move since. They actually had an open roster spot even prior to releasing Cody Mandel. I'm not sure why they have to make up excuses about this. I'm not sure why they can't say just Tim Mastay won the job. For some reason, they both referenced the roster. Like they had to clear space or open up space like they were signing someone. They haven't. I don't know if they're waiting to do so. But anyway, there's now three open roster spots on the Packers 90-man roster because on Tuesday, yesterday, the Packers released wide receiver Ricky Collins. Came to an injury settlement with him. This was a rookie free agent out of Texas A&M Commerce who's been on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, ever since the beginning of training camp. So he never had the opportunity to even practice since training camp opened. He did during the offseason, during, you know, OTAs, minicamps, things like that. But he apparently suffered a heel injury. That's the word from Michael Cohen of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's been the only one to report his injury that I've seen. So Ricky Collins, no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. Too bad. I really thought Ricky Collins might have been a diamond in the rough when the Packers signed him as a rookie free agent. He had been a guy who had bounced around. He had like enrolled at SMU, at TCU. And just, I think it was, I'm guessing here, but I think because of academics, it never you know, something fell through and he ended up having to play Division II football. But, you know, he finally got settled at Texas A&M Commerce and just killed it in his, you know, last season, senior season. And I thought the Packers might get a diamond in the rough. But anyway, they, as the old saying goes, you can't make the club in the tub. And that was the case with Ricky Collins, who's been on the pup list since the beginning of camp, and the Packers just had to cut ties. They have 12 other wide receivers on the roster, a lot of other rookie free agents they can look at, and guys who are healthy. I mean, they got some guys who aren't healthy at the position too, namely Jared Aberderis and Adrian Coxon, who continue to nurse their injuries, concussions. For now, more than a week, you hope that they're okay. Anyway, Packers release Ricky Collins and now have 87 of 90 roster spots filled here just before the start of preseason action on Thursday. Word coming out of training camp on Tuesday, though. I think maybe the biggest story was the Packers practicing onside kicks for the first time during training camp, reportedly. And who was in Brandon Bostic's spot but Richard Rodgers? If you're a Packers fan, you probably don't need to be reminded about Brandon Bostic and what happened in the NFC Championship game. Of course, he being the player who allowed the onside kick to go through his hands, hit him in the helmet, and the Seahawks recover and go on to win that game. If the Packers just recover that onside kick, they probably win and advance to the Super Bowl. Beyond that, you know, as the story goes, Brandon Bostic's job was to block for Jordy Nelson. But he's being replaced by Richard Rodgers, who has a reputation of having some of the best hands on the team, and he really does. From what I've seen from Richard Rodgers, really a soft pair of hands, and that's a good thing for the hands team. And you could argue that his job is to block for Jordy Nelson. Well, I suppose it depends on what type of onside kick the opponent tries. If it's one of those big loopers, yeah, his job might be to block, but if it's kind of a line drive or right on the ground, Richard Rodgers would be asked to field it too. So it's good to have somebody with good hands on the hands team. But there you go. There's the Packers making up for last season's snafu. Not really purposely making up for it. I mean, they got to practice it anyway. But that was one of the bigger stories coming out of training camp on Tuesday. From a health standpoint, kind of interesting. The Packers had been relatively healthy in the secondary early in training camp. Four defensive backs dropped out of practice just on Tuesday alone. Four of them, which is a little bit of a concern. We don't really know the severity of the injuries quite yet. One of them is first-round draft choice Demaryius Randle, who's actually been dealing on and off with a groin injury the past several days. I believe he actually dropped out of practice originally this past Friday, but was back in time for family night on Saturday and had practiced on Monday, albeit reportedly on a limited basis, kind of maybe taking part in some individual drills, but, you know, kind of staying out of the team situations. So I don't know whether it's merely preventative, where the Packers are just like, okay, we're just not going to, you know, have Demaryius Randle practice at all because we want him to be healthy for the preseason game, because we want to see him in a game environment, you know, this first-round draft choice that they invested all this money into and things like that. That could be the case, where it's not really a severe injury, just you know, being cautious with him. We'll see. The others who dropped out were safety Sean Richardson, who I think has a pectoral injury, as I understand it. Cornerback Dimitri Goodson, who has a calf injury. And then cornerback Tay Glover-Wright, who I believe has a hamstring, if I got all these injuries correct. I suppose you could argue that most of these guys aren't expected to be starters, and if that's a silver lining for you, where at least no starters for the Packers got injured. And again, these could all be rather minor injuries, and these guys would be playing on Thursday. I don't know. The team hasn't said. Nobody has commented outside of the just, what happened to him, the severity of the injury. So that's worth keeping tabs on. And I think one of the bigger storylines heading into Thursday night's game is two more injuries coming at basically the same position, the defensive line. The Packers on Thursday night possibly going to be without two starting defensive linemen. Both of these guys have been out for a couple days now. Mike Daniels with an ankle injury and LaTroy Guyon with a hamstring injury. The fact that they've both missed multiple practices shows that maybe it's no small concern with these guys. I mean, not that they'll be out through the regular season, but I can certainly understand the Packers not wanting to risk it and play these guys in a meaningless preseason game. I mean, if they're healthy, there's certainly nothing wrong with having them out there, but they don't appear to be healthy. So the Packers going to go into Thursday night's game without two starters, meaning a lot of attention going to be on the backups. So your starting defensive line Thursday night could be B.J. Raji. And then you've got guys like maybe Josh Boyd and Dayton Jones next to him. So that's your starting defensive line, not one you've really ever seen before, that collection of three players ever. And beyond them, it's going to be a lot of backups there, going to be a lot of guys who haven't received a whole lot of playing time before. So I think the defensive line rotation is really going to be interesting on Thursday because you'd imagine the starters aren't going to play for long. Even B.J. Raji, he might play a few series. But after that, it's going to be a lot of these guys further down the depth chart getting a lot of playing time. Guys like Mike Pinnell, like the rookies, like LaVon Hooks, Christian Ringo. They're going to be getting a lot of playing time on Thursday evening. That's a good thing, getting a look at those guys and see how they're doing, see how they're developing, see how they're performing. Would be great if they would really step up and prove that they can be relied upon and the Packers could keep them on their 53-man regular season roster and be part of that regular season rotation. That would all be great. So that's one of the things, one of the biggest things I'll be keeping an eye on Thursday evening. Packers defensive line that's going to be without a lot of depth. Packers didn't have a lot of depth there to begin with. So when you're missing two guys, that's only adding to the situation. All right, next segment.
The day ahead.
Today on Wednesday, it is the first training camp practice of the year that's closed to the public. So the Packers actually are practicing on Wednesday, but nobody can watch. It's going to take place inside the Don Hutson Center, presumably. And the Packers haven't announced that or anything, but that's where all the closed practices are held. Normally, when they're open to the public, they're at Ray Nitschke Field outdoors. But typically the day before games, they stay close to the public, stay close to the media as well. Kind of that last minute preparations for the upcoming game, in this case, the New England Patriots in the preseason opener. And they just like to, keep things as quiet as possible, not have any distractions the day before a game when preparation gets ramped up a little and things get a little more serious. So, as usual, started last year, Mike McCarthy, the day before games, had started, in years past, 2-3 years ago, Packers wouldn't practice at all the day before a game. Then last year, Mike McCarthy instituted the change. They have a brief practice kind of conducted at a brisk pace, as I've heard the word brisk used before, as they found out through research that players' bodies actually respond better to practicing the day before a game or the day before competition, no matter the sport. I think they've kind of cited, you know, especially Olympic athletes, track and field athletes. It's not good taking off the day before competition. You actually want to practice. You want to be moving around a little bit. You know, you don't want to be getting tired out, but you do. You don't want to take the day off totally. So that's what the Packers doing today, getting in a brief, brisk practice before getting on a plane and flying to New England later today in advance of Thursday's game. Mike McCarthy said basically anybody who boards the plane, they're anticipating that they will play. So anybody that's healthy enough, the Packers, you know, want to see suiting up, you know, and presumably that means that if they know a player is not going to play, let's say LaTroy Guyon, who's been having this hamstring issue, he probably won't even come with the team. He won't even get on the plane. He'll just stay behind, you know, focus on his rehab, and then, you know, try to get back for the second or third preseason game, something like that. But if they're flying out there, the intention is for everybody to play, in fact, even the starters, as Aaron Rodgers alluded to in his interview yesterday, as posted at Packers.com. You might remember a year ago, Packers preseason opener in 2014. Some of the starters didn't play at all. Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Eddie Lacy. But you'll also remember that game was in a torrential downpour. Just kind of happened that, you know, freak occurrence that the game started pretty much coincidentally with a downpour in Tennessee last year. And the Packers really didn't want to risk anything, and field conditions weren't exactly tip-top shape or anything like that. So they sat some of their best players. Assuming that doesn't happen this Thursday, assuming there's not going to be a monsoon coming through New England, Aaron Rodgers is slated to play, and some of the other Packers' best players will play. Now, they maybe not won't play for long, a series, maybe two. I always think that it my own personal opinion, if I was the coach of a team, I would play Aaron Rodgers for about one series, the starters a series, and then sit him out. That's the way I would do it in the first preseason game. I would basically take it a little more each week. The first preseason game, play him a series. The second preseason game, play him a quarter. The third preseason game, play him a half, even, you know, that first series or so after halftime, just so they're getting used to going through halftime and then coming back out onto the field and then cutting it back in the final preseason game again. That's the way I would approach it, and it's basically the way the Packers approach it too, more or less. You know, maybe there's a little bit of a disagreement about how long they stay out there, but generally that's what happens, and that's what we can anticipate to see on Thursday. But we're looking forward to that. Preseason opener, football is here as of tomorrow. That's a very good thing. That'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on the show. Thanks to Matt Chatham of footballbyfootball.com, former Patriots linebacker, joining us on the show to talk a lot about quarterbacks today. I will say this as well. This will be there will be no show on Friday. Once again, as I've explained before, in between residences, between selling a house and buying a house, currently living in with the in-laws, temporary housing for a few weeks, I close on my new house on Friday. Very excited for that. So it's just going to be a busy day. Over the weekend, we're going to move into our new house. You can imagine that just... you know, everything is packed in boxes right now. I'm going to be a little busy, so no show on Friday. I wish I could. I'd love to do it, but just got to take care of some life priorities first. And my intention, hopefully, we will be back on the air on Monday with a new episode then. Maybe we can review this Patriots game a little bit and start looking forward to preseason game number two. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. We'll see you again next week. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. That is the best way for this show to get the word out about it and make sure that it's around for a long, long time. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.